Beloved friends, we greet you in the precious name of the Lord Jesus, and we welcome you to the weekly meditation on the Sunday school lesson. The theme for this particular month tells us how God reveals himself to the human family. For God is not, and he never will hide himself from the race of mankind. It is very stupid for any person or any group to be blind to the various ways that God has revealed himself. He has not left us without some clear revelation of his eternal Godhead and existence. We've already considered in our previous lesson the revelation of God in creation. Now today, we shall consider him as the God of history. How, in and through historical experiences, he thus seeks to reveal himself to his creatures. So get your Bible, find Psalm 105, from which our lesson is taken, and after prayer we will begin the study. Blessed Father, we pray thee to reveal thyself today to our hearts as we meditate upon thy precious word. And to every one of us we ask, thy Holy Spirit will show us that in our own personal life, our own history, that it is one of thy ways of seeking to cause us to know thee and to know our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. History can be a fascinating study, and it is to many persons, an exciting and interesting one. But have you ever thought that the Bible, being a history book, it is a history book. It is the most accurate account ever written of all history, but it takes us backward, as no other book can, to a dateless eternity before time ever began. It also points us forward, as no other book can in its revelation, to an eternity that is yet to come. And in between an eternal past and an eternal future, God has written in his own word the history of the whole span of time. No other historian in human history could ever do that. So why not approach your Bible in diligent study, my friend? Learn that God truly is the God of history. For the great outstanding fact of the Word of God can truly be stated as being, the Bible is the history of the redemption of the human race. Now in Psalm chapter 105, our assigned scripture, we have to consider very important, first of all, in verse 4, David's appeal to the nation of Israel to seek God. For the opening verse declares, seek the Lord in his strength, seek his face evermore, meaning continually. We shall find in the reading that follows the basis for this appeal. But let us consider very carefully the exhortation of this one verse, one that exhorts the whole human family, seek the Lord and his strength, and to do it continually. Now these words, we should first recognize, they express our complete dependence upon God and upon him alone for strength. This is the true meaning of prayer, my friend, acknowledging our need of divine grace and strength. And here David exhorts his people Israel to seek the Lord. Now let me apply this principle of seeking the Lord in dependence in three special areas of human history for our admonition. First of all, primarily in the context of our scripture, it is applied to a nation, and that is the nation of Israel. But let us consider it in a practical way in relation to our own nation, any nation, for that matter, but our own particularly. Where is the true strength of a nation? Is it found in armaments? Is it found in economic wealth? Is it found in material prosperity? Unfortunately, the majority of people believe so. But to do this is to forget God, which can lead and does lead to disaster. For listen to the words of the psalmist in chapter 9 and verse 17. the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. What a solemn judgment. As a nation, are we not forgetting God today? Is not the spread of atheism in our own land an indication of this? Once upon our coins was engraved the motto, "In God we trust." But who confesses this today? Surely the psalmist's admonition is appropriate for the nation that we live in. Seek ye the Lord and his strength. Seek his face continually. It is the message for our nation today. But second, apply this ecclesiastically in relation to the Church of God upon the earth today. How many congregations today are fulfilling this responsibility, acknowledging their complete dependence upon God? We have many methods of all kinds suggested, programs to be enacted, committees to be appointed, great physical expansions that involve much expense. But that's not the important thing. Who seeks the Lord and his strength? The history of the early church was a praying church, without elaborate methods, but powerful and blessed. And its history should remind the modern church, we need to confess our dependence upon God. And then third, we would now apply our verse personally, as individuals. The admonition of the psalmist is greatly needed. Seek the Lord in his strength. Seek his face continually. And once more, the principle of dependence upon God is our greatest and our great personal need. There is an appropriate parallel to this verse. We'd like to read it from Psalm 27 and verse 8. David said, "When thou saidst, Seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, Thy face, Lord, will I seek." If nations forget God, if even congregations of professing Christians forget him, yet individually we should respond to the admonition in our own hearts to see his face. It implies that personally, my heart would worship the Lord, my Savior, and my life would express its dependence upon him for strength during my whole history of life. Now think very carefully of these three spheres where God is needed. First, nationally, then second, ecclesiastically, but particularly, individually. The nation may fail. The church at large may fail. But my beloved friend, as an individual, may God help you and me not to fail, but faithfully to seek his face. Now the remainder of our psalm, 105th psalm, records the reason why we should seek the Lord in his strength. And it is all based upon the history of God's people, Israel as a nation. Their past history reveals God's remarkable strength that was shown to them and to their fathers. And let me suggest, it deals with their national history of the past. You may read from verses 5 through 11, the assigned reading. And note very carefully, first of all, verse 5. Remember his marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders, and the judgments of his mouth. Now please emphasize that first word. Remember. You know the meaning of it. Don't forget. Now the following verses, after the 5th, down to the 11th, they specifically emphasize to the nation of Israel, God hath remembered his covenant with you. He did not forget it. He did not forget the nation, from Abraham down to even the possession of the land of Canaan. And the whole psalm emphasizes all that God did for Israel in the past. And truly, he proved himself to be the God of history. And what people upon all the earth as a nation had more divine wonders performed upon them and for them, as did the nation of Israel. And the whole psalm is filled with the marvelous recital of God's strength and of his power on their behalf. But now, We must go down to verses 37 through 45 in our lesson assignment. And we find in verse 37 what is worthy of special note. It begins by saying, God brought them forth also, meaning he brought them out of Egypt, with silver and gold. There was not one feeble person among their tribe. Please may I note with you, when Israel came out of Egypt, they came out wealthy, and they also came out healthy, prepared for the journey through the wilderness to the land of promise. Note the words as we go down to verse 42 to the end. He not only was with them during that journey, supplying every need in the desert path, but he remembered his holy promise. And Abraham, his servant, and he brought forth his people with joy, his chosen with gladness, and he gave them the lands of the heathen, and they inherited the labor of the people. How good and how glad God was to do all this for his people. God did not forget them. History proves them. Then how they needed the 45th verse where we read why they should seek him. That they might observe his statutes and keep his laws. Praise ye the Lord. All their history proved the revelation of God. He remembered them. Now therefore, they should remember him. Now as we go on, we want to return again to our previous application of the lesson in that threefold way. First, nationally. Second, ecclesiastically. Third, personally. Now, nationally. Now, the primary application of our history in the psalm we have read was for Israel. From their remarkable history that was filled with divine miracles and wonders, was there any reason for them to forget God? Surely the answer is no. But they did forget him. Jeremiah the weeping prophet later wrote the tragic accusation from God. And listen to his words. Jeremiah 2, verse 13. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters. They have hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. Now let's apply this in a practical manner to our own nation. Nationally, God has proved his faithfulness to honor a nation that was established in his government upon righteous biblical principles. And this certainly has been true of our national history. Our founding fathers, they founded the nation upon biblical principles. But let me quote the words of Daniel Webster, that statesman of our history. One of the God-fearing statesmen in our national history. And I quote his own words and listen to them carefully as we quote. If we abide by the principles taught in the Bible, our country will go on prospering. But if we and our posterity neglect its instructions and authority, no man can tell how sudden a catastrophe may overwhelm us and bury all of us in our glory in profound obscurity. Unquote. This was a statesman who feared and revered the God of history. But today, my beloved, the Bible that he honored is even forbidden to be read and even enter into our schools. And even prayer is denied. We face calamity when the nation forsakes the God of history who has been so good to us. But let's apply the lesson ecclesiastically. Has the church in its testimony of spiritual power and blessing been faithful to its divine responsibility? There was a brilliant testimony of spiritual power in the days of the early church, but which later faded away. A student of church history will be well acquainted with the existence of what has been called the Dark Middle Ages, which covered about 15 centuries, from the 3rd century to the 18th century of Christianity. But then God, in His mercy and grace, raised up godly men who revived the Word of God, such as Luther and his contemporaries, and they brought God and His Word back to the people. The mighty Reformation was followed in the 19th century by one of the greatest spiritual movements that has ever been known since early Christianity. The past century, the preceding one, has produced and did produce godly teachers of the Word of God who unfolded the Scriptures in their truth and in their power by the Holy Spirit. Believers studied the Word of God and they lived out the Word of God in holy separation from the world. Today, many dear and beloved Christians, they are spiritually starving for spiritual food. And what is the cause? The church at large has built itself around much modern machinery, independent of God, forgetting the admonition of our lesson. Seek the Lord in His strength. Seek His face continually. And the hearts of God's people need to study the history of the church, not to boast of its successes, but to repent and to confess its failures. We hear much of spiritual renewal, of revival, but we need to repent and seek the Lord and its strength. Now let's look at the lesson individually. Every one of us write our own history, and you can read the truth of this fact in Revelation 20 and verse 12. Even at the great judgment of the white throne, the unsaved dead will stand before God, and we read. Their records will be revealed, for the books were opened, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. My beloved, beloved, beloved believer, beloved unbeliever, may I say we are writing our own history every day, and the divine computers in heaven above are recording it in minute detail, every thought, every word, every deed of your life and of mine. Now, beloved, as you think of your own history, what is your history as God records it day by day? What is mine? Yes, He is the God of history for everyone. But I would like to ask a question in closing that is most important relative to this truth. In your history individually and in my history individually, there's one thing particularly that we should emphasize. In your history and in mine, does it reveal that God has been able to record this fact? I have sought the Lord while He may be found. In other words, in the record of your history and in mine, have you had it written down that He has forgiven you your sins? Does your history and mine prove that we came to Him as a guilty sinner and we sought forgiveness which was offered us by the gospel of His grace? Now God is able and willing to do this. And whatever may be all the other history of your life, you may have a great history of much sin, many sins. But thanks be to God. He can take the history of your sins and blot out those sins from His holy sight and forgive you by the precious blood of God's dear Son. For we are redeemed not with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. My beloved friend, I would plead with you, don't go down into eternal history without knowing that the God of history has forgiven you all your sins. My beloved, I'm sure together with myself, you will, if honest, confess you're not always happy about the history of your life. There's the good and there's the bad. And there are many sins that you know and you remember. But we have a God, and the history of that God in the Bible proves and declares He's able to forgive your sins and for mine. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his ways and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto our God, who will have mercy and will abundantly pardon. My beloved, our lesson to declare today, God is the God of history. But I want to impress upon you individually, he's recording the history of your life. Oh, as the hymn writer has said, Lord, I care not for riches, neither silver nor gold. I would make sure of heaven, I would enter the fold. In the book of thy kingdom with its pages so fair, tell me, Jesus, my Savior, is my name written there? My beloved friend, can you say, yes, my name's written there, on the page white and fair? In the book of thy kingdom, my name's written there. Yes, my sins, they are many like the sands of the sea, but thy blood, O my Savior, is sufficient for me. My beloved, yes, God is the God of all history, as a nation, and even as a church, but as an individual. And oh, how we pray that we who are his may seek the Lord in his strength and do it continually and declare with Paul the Apostle the precious fact that he recites in Philippians chapter 4, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. And how we need to declare our complete dependence upon God as a nation, as churches, and particularly and important, though others may fail, as individuals. Shall we pray? Blessed Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, sanctify the precious truth we have covered, most of all to every individual heart, for thy glory in Jesus' name. Amen.